This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Hi, I'm John Kyle from Ireland, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 10th, episode 1649. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Oh, and those other two are here too. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, Horse World. It's Friday.
When I get off of work on Friday.
Everybody's favorite day of the week on Horses in the Morning.
So let the good times roll.
Yes, us other guys are here too. Jamie and Glenn, we're here. John has come in the studio and taken over the show. He's just...
I find it amazing, Glenn, that... amazing and just a wee bit embarrassing that we have somebody who is as fancy as John Kyle, the Olympic announcer, host of the eventing radio show, like a legitimate... broadcaster, and you brought him in here to do really bad ads. Like, what were you thinking?
We have to put him to work at things they're good at, Jamie. We have to do things they're good at.
No, I think I don't know. I think people just like punishment. Why would he come in, John? Why are you here? Why would you do this to yourself?
Glenn set up a roadblock between my hotel and the Live Oak International.
There's a detour sign right to the studio.
That makes sense. Well, we're going to talk to you a little bit more. I need to know more. What are you doing? But we'll go to Jennifer and find out what's on today's show. And then I cannot wait because we've even assigned John the Daily Whinny. So let's get...
You might as well dive in the deep end.
I know.
There we go. Coming up on today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, we're going to open the show with Rhythm Rampage. That's the dynamic musical duo of Britta and Brooke, who are musicians and horse girls. And then after the break, John Kyle is sitting in the hot seat, and Glenn will grill him about being an international horse show announcer with a resume longer than a saddlebred's neck. And then just before the credits roll, Really Bad Ads provides the ultimate surprise ending as we twist the plot on an assortment of listener-submitted online ads. So stay tuned for the fray.
Very good. Here we go. Daily Whinny time. I'll go first.
Who's first? Okay.
Well, my Daily Whinny goes out to a bunch of our auditors, like I do every Friday. We have some brand new auditors this week, and we wanted to thank them. Chelsea Sievers, who was here 2 years ago, actually, for Live Oaks, staying at our house. Rita Hansen, Stephanie Abel, and Lisa Locke, all our brand new auditors this week. Thank you, guys.
Hey.
Also, we wanted to thank Laura Berry, Nellie Kennedy, and Crystal T for raising their pledges. They apparently think we're so good, they're going to give us more. So thank you to them as well. We really appreciate all of our auditors. And I also want to give a thank you to Lindsay Helmuth, who's getting married here shortly. And she started a map in the auditor room and a Google map where everybody could place their pins. And it was so cool to see where all the auditors live around the world. It was really neat to do.
It really is, yeah.
And actually, some of them were so surprised that they were so close to each other, they're getting together now.
So. I know. I found three and kind of around me, so we're going to have to do a meetup.
Definitely. All right, John, do you want to go next? Here we go. Let me give you your...
So... Jamie suggested, and quite rightly, that maybe I should shout out to my wife, Pippa. My wife, Pippa, is the editor of Horse and Hound. She waves me goodbye for like 3 weeks at a time as I go off on the road horse show announcing. And particularly at the moment, she had her eventer. He was 25 years old. He just got that little bit lame, and they had to take the very, very tough decision to put him down. Oh. He'd lived with them for 17 years. He was riding up on the last week of his life. And he was a big, big part of her life. So I'm just thinking of Pippa at the moment.
Well, our thoughts are with her as well. I met Pippa, I think, when we, same time I met you, I guess, was preparation for the WAG in 2010.
Yeah, the Bonefish Grill.
How do you remember that? I didn't even remember where we ate. That's right. It was a Bonefish
Everybody Grill. Remembers where their life changed. Like that moment where you get smacked in the face. Yeah.
Jamie, your turn.
So my daily Winnie goes out to, much like John, I'm going to give it to my spouse as well. Yesterday, we just had an experience on the farm, which has just been unrivaled in just sheer chaos. So I'm teaching a lesson, and I've got a little kid that's shipped in her pony for the lesson, and we get off. We're coming back to the back of the property, which is where the wash rack is and kind of our backyard and all the stalls. Everything is kind of right together. And as I get off this horse, Lucas, my three-year-old, comes running up to me. Mom, the dog killed a baby chick. There's a dead baby chick. I was like, what? We don't have it. And Chad's like, it's not one of ours because it's like brand new baby. He's like, it's in the coop. It might still be alive. So I walk in there and there's like a dead baby chick, brand new baby chick on the ground. And then I see it move. I'm like, oh my God, it's not dead. So I pick it up and it's like cheeping in my hands. And we have one hen that has been sitting on some eggs. So I'm like, oh, well, she had a baby, you know, and it got kicked out of the nest. I go to put the baby back underneath her and she attacks me. Like I am putting poison on her. I don't know. She mauled my hand like, peck, 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 peck. And then I noticed the baby chick has like little peck marks on its head too. So she had this baby and then kicked it out of the nest. And it's like all the rest are eggs. So it's like she hatched one and she doesn't understand what happened. So now I've got this baby chick in my hand. My husband is yelling. There's kids and ponies everywhere. There's 20 something chickens already running around. The Mustangs are in the pasture right next to us, rearing and galloping and playing back and forth, which makes the dogs bark. And the dogs are going crazy. Little kids screaming about a dead baby. There's ponies everywhere. And my husband loses it. Cannot. And I'm like, I need the light. I need the warmer. Where's the light to get the baby chick under the warmer? And my husband just loses it. And he looks at me and he goes, and to think I used to live in an apartment downtown. So he said, he goes, there's so much life here. Just so much life here. Like walks inside. So dear honey, yes, there's so much life here. And yes, you could be very sad again living downtown, or you could be out here with all this chaos and craziness. And I do appreciate you choosing the latter. Please don't choose the former. I don't know what I would
John,
do.
You have to keep in mind that her husband is a fighter pilot. Okay. It takes a lot to get a fighter pilot upset.
Yeah. Yeah, he hit his limit yesterday, for sure.
He's like, I'm going to go fly that jet and have people shoot at me. It's much better than this.
Just for a break.
And we had just had the discussion, John, like, no more animals. No more chickens, no more animals, period. And I was like, you're right. And here I am, like, 2 days later with a baby chick who, as you can hear, is in the office cheeping because it's only quiet when it sits in my hand. Because now I've imprinted with this chicken and I put my hand in the cage and like runs to it because it's lonely. And this happened last night. And anyway, it's like
we
imprinted
can hear it.
On me. And yeah, I know. I can hear it too. It's making me crazy. I'll pick it up.
He is an unhappy little chick. Well, John is
hence the reason I've been wondering why John is here.
Well,
because he's
John is
too
here.
Fancy for this.
Actually, the only reason I knew John was here is I saw him post on Facebook and I was like, oh, he's going to be right down the street. And then I never, ever thought he'd come over. I invited him to come over. I invite a lot of people to come over and a lot of them do and a lot of them don't. And I thought, well, John's too good for us. He won't come over and sit on a show with us. So, and then he said, yes, I'll be over. I was like, oh, John's coming. You're here for Live Oak International, which is the largest CDE it is the most prestigious CDE here in the United States.
Yeah, it's the carriage driving. What, they celebrated 25th anniversary last year. And also, I'm here mainly for the World Cup show jumping, but I'm going to hopefully hop on with Jeff Morgan and do a little bit of the driving marathon tomorrow as well, because that's super sport. I love announcing that.
It is so much fun. You know, I keep telling people, all these people want to go watch eventing, right? And eventing cross country is fun, right? It's fun to watch. But it still doesn't come up to the craziness that happens in a top level CDE, a combined driving event on marathon day. Them crashing through those obstacles, it's bizarre.
It's a demolition derby. Yeah. Stock car racing.
It is. And they go fast because they are timed while they're in the obstacle for speed. So they go fast through those things as fast as they possibly grow. And Live Oak's a beautiful place.
Yeah, and it's really well designed as well. The obstacles lead you back up towards the main arena. So if you follow the four and hands up as they drive their marathon, the next thing is you're actually sitting in the bleachers in the main ring ready for the start of the World Cup jumping. So it's very well thought through as well by Chester and his team.
Chester Weber started adding, that's his farm. It's Live Oak International. It's 4,000 acres here in Ocala. It's probably the biggest farm in Ocala, I'm sure. We drove around the road that goes around it the other day. It takes 20 minutes.
down to York and back to
exactly. But it is, and he sets this all up in the middle of a field, basically, and it looks like it's there all the time. But the arena, they put a lot of work into the arena where they do the dressage and where they do cones and where they also do the show jumping, putting down this expensive turf. And I haven't seen it this year, but it's supposed to be really nice.
Yeah, it's super. And Kian O'Connor, for instance, he will come and jump at Live Oak every year, despite being a big part of the WEF circuit down in Wellington. The reason being, in 6 weeks' time, he's going to be back in Europe jumping in the Nations Cup show at Le Ball in France on turf. So he wants to jump on turf as much as possible, and he wants to jump on good turf, and Live Oak offers that. It's a beautiful arena. And this year they've got London 2012 Olympic designer Bob Ellis in for, I think, the first time, and he's going to set the track. So that's exciting for the jumpers.
And it's World Cup for the jumpers?
Yeah, it's the final leg of the Longines FEI World Cup Jumping North American League. So we'll know by Sunday who will be the U.S. riders going to Omaha in, about 3 weeks' time.
Yeah, that's right. It's in Omaha, Nebraska this year. You should be living there. You could have gone, Jamie. I could have gotten you press passes.
In Omaha?
Yeah, well, it's closer from Oklahoma. I mean, it's,
no,
it's the next state over, somewhat.
Glenn, bless your heart. Well, we do appreciate you coming in here and hanging out with us, John. This is cool. Now, we are going to have you do some really bad ads. And has Glenn prepared you for what this is?
Glenn won't even let me scroll down the page to read them. So
I don't want him leaving early. So we got to keep him here.
Yeah, you can't read ahead. It's never, you have to read it as you see it. And I'm feeling that, you know, you are from Ireland, even though you reside in London. So I'm feeling that we needed to bring out that Irish brogue a little bit in the really bad ads.
I don't think he has a choice. That comes out. Well,
sorry, is Glenn providing the three or four Guinnesses that makes that happen?
That's true. We need Guinness.
It's go 5 o'clock store. Somewhere. Wait, probably close to it in Ireland. You're probably good. And next week is St. Paddy's Day, so that's perfect.
Yeah. In theory, I'm supposed to get a state mandated day off, which I would if I was in Ireland. But the British aren't that keen on letting me have the day off. So.
Is it a big deal in Ireland, St. Paddy's Day?
Yeah,
or is that an American thing?
St. Patrick's Day is very big in Ireland, but in a very, very different way to Chicago and Boston and New York and stuff. But I thought it was very interesting because I think it falls on a Friday this year. So I think it was the Chicago Cardinal said that they don't have to just eat fish that day because it's St. Patrick's Day. They don't have to fast on
even St. God makes an exemption on St. Paddy's Day?
Apparently so.
That's funny. I was always wondered if that was an American thing or if it was big overseas.
I think it's been taken above and beyond over here. But I mean, most towns in Ireland, they'll have a parade and you know, a bit of celebration and everyone has the day off. So, you know, it's a nice day to do something with the family.
Let's face it, Americans and apparently Irish will use any excuse to drink to excess and take a day off.
Yeah, and then you put Irish and American horse people together.
Oh, dear God.
So now you're... how many shows will you do a year, John? How many shows will you announce a year around the world?
I think it's about 45, 48, that sort of thing. I know last year I ticked it up and it was 78 flights I took in 2016.
Wow. Do you get to keep all your frequent flyer miles?
I do.
Yeah. Do you actually take vacations with those, or do you stay home on vacation because you're so sick of going places?
A lot of the flights are in Europe. They're an hour long. It's not really a big deal. And myself and my wife, we go away. We'll take a city break or something and orphan the flight. So, you know, as a result of my work. So we can afford to get a slightly nicer hotel or what have you.
Got it. Well, and we are going to be there at Live Oak. One of the things I did want to mention for everybody that can't make it to Ocala this weekend is that it is being broadcast. They had the dressage. Matter of fact, dressage for carriages is going right now. And you can just go to our Facebook page, go to Horses in the Morning on Facebook and scroll down. You'll see we have a link to the live feed there. But if you get a chance to watch, that's probably actually the best way to watch marathon is from the live feed, because you get to see almost all the obstacles. They have cameras on almost all of them. So instead of walking around like we're going to have to do tomorrow, you can get to see them up close and personal on the live feed.
Now, Glenn, is this the event that you commentated for?
Yeah, a couple years ago, Wendy and I did it. Yep, that's right. Same one. Okay, they haven't asked us back since then, though, Jamie, so I don't know what that was about.
Kyle.
I don't know who he made mad, but we haven't been asked back. Probably somebody we made mad, I'm sure. So definitely check it out. Just give it a few minutes. Now, be aware that it starts at 8 in the morning Eastern time, and pretty much the marathon will be over by 1 because they want to get everything cleared out, and then everybody up in the stadium for the show jumping, which I think it starts at 2. And I think that's also broadcast, right, John?
Yeah.
Okay. So
that'll be on USCF Network.
Got it. Where do you sit as an announcer for the show? Are you up in that little booth on top of the hill?
For the marathon, the live announcer, Jeff Morgan, he'll be in that booth. And then for the stadium, we're down by the jury tower, which is by the in gate.
Got it. Okay. I wasn't sure where you guys sit for all of that. And anyway, check it out. And then Sunday will be Cones. So that is the final competition in a 3-day driving CDE. That's kind of like the show jumping for the eventers. And they set up a whole bunch of cones that are literally about 2 inches from the wheels on the outside of all the wheels of the carriages. They actually adjust the cones to meet the carriage widths. And they put little tennis balls on them, and you have to drive through these at speed and not knock down the tennis balls. They call it bowling if you knock down too many. And that's who determines the winner of a CDE. And this is a 3-star?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a 3-star. I think it's the biggest one in the United States. So take a look at our Facebook page to find the link for that. But before we talk to John some more, we love to have musical guests on the show. We do it every once in a while. And these two were introduced to me by Bruce from Now Hear This Entertainment podcast, who will be on our Super Speedy podcast episode next Wednesday. And Bruce was kind enough to send me their information. He had them on his show a while back. And they're horse people, so we thought we would have them on and talk a little bit about music and horses and spend a little time with Britta and Brooke of Rhythm Rampage. Let's hear a little bit of one of their songs.
Everybody says you gotta play it safe. Just take your time.
Well, good morning, ladies. We have Britta and Brooke on with us from Rhythm Rampage. How are you?
Great.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I know it's early. You're in California, right?
Yeah, we are totally ready.
Okay, good.
Well, since we're musicians, I'll quote Bob Seger on that one. Up with the sun and gone with the wind.
So there you go. Well, Britta, let's start with you because we need to be able to tell your voices apart here a little bit. You're a former opera singer?
Yes, I sang opera for a good portion of my youth. I loved it. It was so fun, but singing country music, I got to be authentic to who I am and show emotion and not be quite as calculated in how I sing.
And you also are a ballet dancer?
Yes, we both did ballet. We danced with Miami City Ballet's Nutcrackers. I went to Scotland when I was 13 with a ballet called Cinderella and the Flower Fairies, and I was the Lavender Fairy. Brooke danced with Ballet Hawaii in Coppelia. So we love to perform.
Okay, who got the better of that deal? One was in Hawaii and one was in Scotland. Okay.
Both pretty awesome.
Yeah,
both pretty awesome. Now, I got to ask you, so when you are going and doing ballet in these places, did you live there? Or did you just get picked up with that troupe? How does that work? I mean, you said Miami and Scotland and Hawaii all kind of in the same sentence.
Well, we're originally from Florida, so we were living in Florida when we danced with Miami City Ballet. And the others were just like being on in a band. You go on tour and you go perform.
Okay. Got it. Well, now, you guys, horses also came into the picture. Brooke, where do horses come into the picture?
Well, Britta and I have both had quarter horses. My horse, Bantam Breeze, and I had an extraordinary bond. Bantam was a stocky black quarter horse with a white star. He was abused when I got him. He was extremely head shy and would rear up if you walked up to him. He hated people. He had a scar above his nose and one above his tail. You know, horses, they don't scar very easily. They usually heal up, so he was rough handled pretty good. He was a stud horse that they gelded late and sold off for a quick buck. He was also suffering from white line hoof disease. The first week I got him, he grabbed me by my arm and lifted me up off the ground. I was lucky because ill-mannered stallions are known to either grab people by their necks or their arms with their teeth and aggression. That's part of what makes them so dangerous. If it had been my neck, I wouldn't be here today to tell you this story now. But right at the time I got Phantom, I was suffering from a horseback riding injury that I experienced from a different horse. I was thrown in the hooves and trampled, beat up head to toe. My helmet was cracked on the inside down the middle and then there was a hoof print on the left side. So it definitely saved my life. I had trouble walking for a full year and went through two full hip rehab programs. I spent most of my recovery time just hanging out with Phantom and trying to earn his trust. He needed the time off for his hoofs to heal, and I needed the time off for my injury. So my dad would carry me out to an old lawn chair, and I'd sit out there for hours, holding one of those long lunge lines as he grazed, and slowly he'd inch closer and closer to me. Phantom became a close friend. I talked to that horse about everything. He knew all of my secrets. Since I couldn't ride him, I taught him tricks. He was very smart. He could bow, kiss, smile, and take my hat off by command. We spoiled him with tons of treats. The whole barn that we boarded at says we rehabilitated together. Now, unfortunately, he passed away in January from old age. It's a little difficult for me to talk about because it's so fresh, but what incredible memories he gave me.
And there's nothing quite like it. Phantom and Brooke together were just inseparable. I just love horses, that special bond you can have, but what they had was just once in a lifetime.
Well, I think, I actually think the Phantom knew what she was going through. They know. And, you know, that's why they're so good for healing. That's why they're so good with the military. That's why they're so good with special needs, is they know. And they know what they have to do. And you know, most of them will step up to the plate. And obviously, Phantom was one who did that. And I know one of your songs, Wild Horses, is a little bit about that accident, right?
Yes, it was a poem that I wrote during that time. It's really about the recovering from an injury, you know, and all the different stages you go through emotionally.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, we've had a lot of people on the show who have had head injuries, and I know, John, you've seen them happen, who have had head injuries through the years that wouldn't be here if it wasn't for helmets. And, you know, if your helmet's cracked in half, pretty much you're not going to be here if it wasn't for the helmet. And that's and it's a tough thing to recover from. One of our hosts, Tammy Serrance, had the same situation. She took years to recover and still is recovering from that head injury in a similar situation. Now, you guys trained in Nashville for a while, too, as far as singing is concerned, right?
Yes, we've trained up in Nashville. We lived in Georgia for about 4 years, and we would spend the first half of the week in Nashville playing shows and training with vocal coaches and guitar, and then we'd come back to Georgia the second half of the week and play shows around there.
So you didn't get to play in any smoky bars, did you?
We have played our fair share of smoky bars.
I bet you have. I have to ask you the question because I've always wanted to ask somebody who plays smoky bars. It's like nobody's listening to you. Is that hard? Because you're playing, they're all talking, having a good time, but you're kind of the background music. So is that hard, Britta? Is that hard to do?
Not at all. We're just there to make everybody have a good time. We have a pretty good audience response. I can't complain.
Okay, good.
Of our favorite shows we've played have been the Peach Drop New Year's Eve in Georgia. And we got to play 5 shows for 6 Flags outside of Chicago. We've played around 20 states.
Britta, what's been your favorite show that you've done?
I gotta say, those two, New Year's Eve and 6 Flags.
Got it.
What about you, Brooke?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We love it when people sing along. That's the best.
We had the oddest show ever. We owned an acting company and did medieval feasts, so we were a cast of medieval actors. And they hired us to come into Dorney Park Amusement Park for a weekend and do shows at the amusement park and then wander through there in our costumes in about 100-degree weather. It was the oddest show I've ever done. So our recollection of doing an amusement park isn't as nice as yours. It wasn't as good as yours.
It was super cool. We play all types of venues. We've played the Roxy Theater in Denver. And sometimes it's just a small little songwriting night. Sometimes it's quite a crowd.
Well, guys, where can people find your music? Where can they go?
Well, you can go to our website at rhythmrampage.com, or if you can go to SoundCloud, which is soundcloud.com/rhythmrampage.
All right, that sounds terrific. And again, we want to thank Bruce from Now Hear This Entertainment Podcast for the intro. I'm going to play the rest of that song that we started with there. It's called Face the Fire. We're going to play you guys out with it. Thank you so much for joining us and for getting up early this morning.
Thank you for having us. Yeah. We'll be listening on the road.
All right, take care, guys. Have fun. We'll be back with more. Talking to John about how he does his job.
I was 6 years old, had a mind of my own. she had waited all her life for this moment, dreaming about it since she was 10 years old. The trailer ramp touched the ground. He whinnied as she backed him out, swinging his head around to get a good look at his new home. His coat gleamed in the sun. Her love had arrived. She was breathless. He was beautiful. She could hardly wait to tack him up and start off on what she was sure would be the best times of her life. This love story is brought to you by Contribute, providing essential omega-3 fatty acids that help maintain low inflammation levels throughout your horse's body. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
And thanks to Kentucky Performance Products for being a sponsor of our show. So loyal. I wonder if they sell baby chicken food. Sorry about the cheaping. I'm trying to keep it at a minimum. But every time I put it down, you guys, it goes crazy. It screams.
Do they need little bottles like when you have to feed a calf or little bottles with milk in them?
It's feeding time. Come on over. It's feeding them. No, I didn't know what to do. I've never had a baby chick hatch, but then I realized I bought them when they're a day old. They should be fine. But like I said, it's
different when you are the one that has them.
It's just weird. I don't want to talk about it anymore. My husband just walked in. He's rolling his eyes at his wife. Well, we are here with John Kyle. And John, thank you so much for being here. Like I said, at the beginning of the show, I was wondering why you're here, how you got talked into this.
Glenn said there were free donuts.
And I did. And we had to go out and buy them.
Did he actually provide them?
Yeah. This is great. You should come here every morning, Jamie.
Did you have to fight Jennifer for them?
Glenn had already locked her in Studio B by then.
Okay, gotcha. Before he brought out the food. Amazing. Well, Jennifer, real quick, before we get to John, you went fox hunting with your horse.
I did.
I think on Wednesday. You weren't here. And I've been wondering... and wondering how it went. You were Do you guys mind if I talk girl talk for a second about horses? Is that cool?
Go ahead. Yeah. If you must.
How was your new pony?
We went fox hunting and Nigel went out with the hounds with me for the very first time on Wednesday morning. We loaded up in the dark and traveled north 45 minutes to the Misty Morning Hounds in Gainesville. And we got there safe and sound, and we offloaded his feet thoroughly packed with Rebound because he thought Tuesday was a good day to bruise his foot. Thank you very much, Nigel. And we went out in third flight, which is sort of kindergarten for field hunters. And Nigel got off the trailer. We got tacked up. Things were going pretty good. And he was a rock star!
Yay! That's awesome! So he was not a snorting, bucking disaster. He was actually a good, sensible fox hunter.
He was very good. Now, we didn't trot at all. We either walked or cantered sideways. But when we had a check, that means the foxhounds are taking a break for whatever reason. Either they lost the scent or they're just having a drink. Whenever we would have a check, he would stand very quietly with his little fox hunting pals, and he was very content to hang out. So he was, by fox hunting standards, a rock star. The only thing that got his little heart beating and nearly caused a meltdown is at one point the hounds, followed in short order by a number of quickly galloping horses, came right past us, and they literally, the hounds ran between his legs. They just zipped right through there because, that kind of got his heart beating a little bit. And I suspect had he not been being babysat by a very, very steady and sensible older fox hunting horse, it could have been disastrous. But we survived because the hounds kept going and they were out of there before he had a chance to stomp on them.
Yeah, it happened so fast. He was like, what just happened? So that's like pulling the rug out from under him. That's good. It was over.
And it was over. Yes.
It was over. Quick.
It was
well, great. I'm so happy for you. And I know everybody wanted to know how Nigel was. So congratulations on your on having a fox hunter.
Yeah. I only landed on his neck once.
Well, I can't wait till you start jumping some jumps. Now, John, are you a rider? Are you a fox hunter being from Ireland?
Yeah, I grew up doing everything. Pony Club was my background. And also I did working hunter ponies and all the way through till I was sort of 18, going to go off to college, and did some eventing up to juniors and young riders level. So my mom and dad both international show jumped and evented. And my brother Mark, Rio was his third Olympic Games.
Right. Well, I knew about that. And that's what I was curious, you know, is when you go home, do you have to ride with the family, or are you done riding, or do you still do it?
I think riding is about, 20 kilos ago for me.
He's taking up carriage driving, because that's what we all do when we gain those extra 20 kilos, is we take up carriage driving.
Are you a driver?
No, I try and stay away from horses if I possibly can. It's no, I was actually just talking to somebody the other day, and they said there's clearly something in the genes, because I kind of left horses, went away to college, and did various other things, and now here I am. My living is talking about horses.
Yes, well, welcome to our world. That's just incredible, and how funny that your family. It's just amazing. It is in the genes. Your family is so accomplished in horses. And here you are living in London. You married a horse girl too, which is, you got yourself in some trouble there, didn't you?
Yeah. We're sort of a power couple with, she's editor of Horse and Hound, as I said earlier on. And the girl who introduced us, who also works for Horse and Hound, Catherine, said, I think you two will be great together, because I think you'll sit up and talk about the FEI rule book in bed. And that has actually happened.
That's what I mean.
Oh, yeah. Right my there. Gosh.
That's as good as it gets right there.
I was going to ask, how did you and Pippa meet? But it sounds like a friend. Was it a blind date?
No, I was standing at Houghton Horse Trials, which is in Norfolk. It's at the end of May. And I was standing by the bar talking to Hugh Lahore, who runs Chat Hills now. And this girl came up and said, oh, hi, you're John Kyle. Catherine said we should meet. I'm Pippa from Horse and Hound. I said, I know who you are. Turned back, continued talking to Hugh Lahore, and looked over my shoulder. About 2 minutes later, this girl was still there. So I thought, oh, probably should buy her a drink.
You jerk. Did you turn back around?
Love at first. Well, not really.
She just wanted a free drink, so whatever. So so you buy her a drink, and the rest is history?
Yeah.
How long ago was that? I hope she's not listening to this.
Yeah, no, I did tell her the time to tune in. See, now I should know those years off the top of my head. I think it's 8-9 years ago.
Nine? When you hit that time, it's
so
like,
when
I
met
I don't know.
Guys, you weren't married yet. You had just
we married in 2014, but
you just started going out, I think.
So we started going out in 2008.
Yeah, so it would have been about that time. Yeah. And look, she kept you anyway.
Yeah, amazingly.
Now, what I'm hearing, because I met my husband in 2008 and we got married in 2010, and you didn't get married till 2014. What the hell took you so long?
If I'd known that having a party with all your best friends was so much fun, I would have done it years before.
Did you do a romantic proposal?
Yeah, absolutely. It was on the side of a street in London. She made it very difficult. This is my entire wedding speech being rehashed here. How did you meet your wife? How did you propose to your wife?
I love it.
She's involved in a theatre company in London, and she became a real moving target that day. She was never where she was supposed to be. And I'm sort of chasing her around London, and she's not where she's supposed to be. And then she rings me and she's going somewhere else. So, yes, I eventually caught up with her and asked her. And I think, her answer was, of course I will, which I think is about 30 days short of what the hell has taken you so long.
Now,
you
are an announcer, and Jamie has a saying. When we first started this show, she always said, don't let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Yeah.
That was her favorite thing to say. So I want to make sure that we're not doing that. Hey, Pippa, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, no.
So this is Pippa. This is John's wife, who he was just talking about. I want to know if anything he just said was true.
I think most of it was true, Glenn. I think most of it was true. I mean, there were a couple of parts that he generously left out. For example, the fact that on that night that we met, I had managed to fall off in the easiest one star that had ever been built, and therefore I had felt obliged to drink all the vodka in the bar. So when you went to buy me, they actually no longer stocked my drink because I had drunk all of it. But oh, yeah, it's pretty much all true.
So you were just the sloppy drunk hanging out. You weren't waiting on him. You were just standing there trying to get your balance.
Something like that.
That's fantastic. And then I feel like the other part he glossed over was the proposal. Like, he just kind of was like, oh, I was on the street. What was, give me
were there
the
billboards? Were there flashing signs? What, anything?
Did a flash mob?
Yeah, with dancing and singing.
As he said, I kind of made it quite difficult for him because what I was doing that weekend changed a lot. And so it was kind of difficult for him to actually find me, which resulted in him spending a lot of time running around London, in the middle of which he had a drink with a good friend of ours who spilled his beer all over John. So when he actually got to proposing to me, I basically came out of this set building that I had been doing and he was waiting for me, which was not really the plan. So I was confused and I was like, what are you doing here? And then I was like, are you drunk? You smell like beer. And he had planned everything up to and including a lovely hotel for the evening. But he hadn't really worked out how he would move me from somewhere more romantic than the side of a four-lane highway, as you would call it, to, you know, actually propose. Then he basically just had to get down on one knee on the side of the street, as he said.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I knew
you should
there
see
had to
John's
be
face right now. He is so sorry he ever came over here this morning.
Sorry.
That's fantastic.
For the audience's sake, John did not know Pippa was going to be on the show today.
No, I just saw you log her in into the little call screen room, and I was like, oh, Glenn, what are you doing?
Pippa, you're a performer. Are you a performer backstage or what? I see you posting about theater all the time.
I'm a backstage girl, no performing, but I produce and stage manage and do quite a lot of marketing for an amateur theater company in London.
All right, Pippa, I'm going to be in London next week. So where do I need to go? What shows should I see?
Oh, wow. Next week. Wow. So we don't have any shows in my theatre company. John and I went to the theatre on Tuesday and saw an excellent play called The Glass Menagerie. But it's not like a, you know, happy, clappy, enjoying yourself show. It was quite serious and sad. I really want to see Half a Sixpence at the moment, which is a big musical that I haven't seen yet. So maybe check that out and you can let us know about it.
Okay, Half for Sixpence. I got it written down.
You could probably get a tour of the Horse and Hound offices, but if it's anything like ours, it'll take about 5 minutes to do.
And we're not in London anymore, so really? You know, you'd have Farnborough, which, yeah, we've moved out, so.
Oh, wow.
They're in the burbs.
They're in the burbs now?
Burbs, yeah.
Well, Pippa, we reread Horse and Hound all the time when we're looking for news, and you guys have been doing a tremendous job over there. We read it over here. Don't think we don't. We're
good.
Always watching.
I'm glad to hear it.
You provide.
I have a question though, because now that I'm going to London, and it's been a dream of mine to go to London for forever, and one of my favorite movies of all time, because I now have to go to this part of the city, as you know what I'm going to say, is Notting Hill. So I have to go to Notting Hill, and I remember my husband, again, fighter pilot, knows nothing about horses. When we met, he said, that was a real magazine? Horse and Hound is real? Because they talk about it extensively in the movie Notting Hill. So I'm putting all of that together right now. And I've got to go to Notting Hill. I should go visit Horse and Hound, but I can't wait to buy a Horse and Hound in London. I'm so excited.
Yeah, that is it a real magazine is a very common reaction to hearing my job. People also often say, what do you find to write about horses every week? And I have to explain that, you know, we fight over space in our office. It's there's always too much to say, not too little.
Girl, don't I know? We started this show and my husband said, what are you going to talk about after a week? You have a live radio show about horses every day? You're going to run out of stuff.
Well, we're running out of stuff. We had to get John to come in today. So Just kidding. Just kidding, John. John even remembered, I said, John, where did we meet for the first time? And he even remembered at a Bonefish Grill in Lexington, Kentucky. That boy has a memory there, Pippa.
Yeah, you can't really get away with much with him around because he does remember things. And he's honestly, if you have any quizzes over there while he's there, take him along because he is like a trivia magnet. When he hears something, he remembers it. Sometimes when we're driving along, he'll be like, I wonder how that works. And he makes me write down the things that he wants to Google afterwards.
Nice.
Pippa, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate you playing along here this morning. And I'm looking forward to seeing you soon somewhere.
See you soon.
All right.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to buy the Mark Todd exclusive Horse and Hound issue while I'm in London.
Yeah, it's the eventing special.
Yeah, there it's perfect. Oh, that's
perfect.
All right, so I have to know, I have a serious question or two for you. How do you study for, you're going to a show today, how many riders?
I think there's 62 riders at Live Oak.
And some of these will be new for you because you're coming to America and you're not always here. So how do you get to studying? Is it because of your incredible memory that you can get away with doing this?
No, I will write everything down. You can't bluff it. I mean, it's respect for the sport you're doing, respect for the client who's come and booked you. You put in the hard hours. So I'm not quite done yet, with the Live Oak.
Do you do note cards? What do you do?
I make a long Word document and put it on the iPad cause it's got really good battery life and just search. And if I'm only doing a single class, I'll put them in the right order. So I only have to scroll. And it's, you know, it's copy and paste cause a lot of them were at the Wellington Masters a few weeks ago where I was, or they jumped at the National Horse Show. So I'm over here quite a bit doing jumping. So actually, you know, I'm building up that base knowledge of those guys over here. It gets easier.
Says the guy who makes it look easy. We did that one a couple of years ago. I thought I was going to go crazy. I had little note cards and everybody. And then you're right. I got them note cards mixed up, and then it was trying to find the right note cards.
I still use pieces of paper for eventing because... So I print out my notes exactly as we would have in the commentary box at home, because then on show jumping day in particular, you can shuffle them as the pack changes. So you can go, oh, literally, they go down three places because I write the scores on the top corner.
Now, when we've done it before, you're actually not watching the eventing. You're watching the monitors. And that's how we did it. And they didn't warn us who they were showing next. So you really have to know who's who.
Yeah, you get very used to... And people who listen to me a lot will hear my brain working because they'll go, oh, here is so-and-so in their very familiar cross-country colors, which is just my brain telling me that information. But I think as an announcer, you have to you take away 90% of that filter between thought and your mouth, and you just have to go for it. So
Jamie could never do it. Could never let her do that.
And you become also very adept at identifying bushes. Because, you know, at the start of a shot going into an obstacle or a cross-country jump, you'll go, oh, yeah, that's the tree that means we're going to fence 17.
Do you walk the courses ahead of time? Yeah. Do you walk them once or twice? Or
It really depends. I would always walk once. Bigger events, walk a few times. And it all depends. If I've ended up walking it entirely on my own, I'll try and get out again. If I've met up with a couple of riders as I'm boogieing around or have managed to catch up with riders and have a good discussion with them about the course, that kind of makes up for a second walk. Because, you know, my experience is lower level actually riding. So I understand what they're talking to me about, but I've never really experienced it. But I can understand what they're telling me. And then, you know, and that's where we're so lucky that we get to go to shows. I mean, it would be so easy for all these pictures to be piped back to London and I just talk. But it's that last, I think, 20% of value that you get from being at a show. As you say, with the dressage I do in Europe, you're looking at the monitor for sure, but usually I can look over the top of my monitor into the ring. And particularly in dressage, sometimes the camera angle kind of compresses a horse, and you can say, well, actually, that's better than it looks on your monitor, because people are sitting at home going, oh. Or the other thing that we quite often get is on the center line, the camera will actually just be one side of the dressage judge. So stuff won't actually look straight.
Mm.
But actually, if you are the judge at sea, it's dead straight.
What's been the toughest show you've ever called?
Well, it depends. Are we talking disorganization or sport?
Your choice.
I mean, they all have the challenges. because it's a really difficult, all of our sports are really difficult to cover. And lots of broadcasters don't have continuous, consistent experience with it. I mean, I think, you know, genuine 20 years veteran TV sports directors wouldn't touch eventing cross country because it is so difficult. A multi-camera shoot, three or four on the course at once. You know, usually on that basis, that championship cross country for eventing is usually one of the toughest things to get going on. And then after an hour, hour and a half, they fall into their rhythm, and then you end up with a really nice show.
Who's deciding? This is we've had this discussion, the three of us, sometimes about when we're watching an event, Olympics or whatever, and they're always going to the wrong person. You know, the person that everybody wants to see. Is it because that the guy that's making the decision, the director or whoever that is in the truck, just doesn't know?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, with the best will in the world, they're trying to follow a sport they don't really understand, and they're trying to make the best decisions on the information they have. But, you know, I'm lucky enough that at the Olympics and my FEI work, I'm doing world feeds. So the Latvian is just as important as the US rider. I want to see them all.
Right.
But particularly when we had charging home at a world championships, we had a Spanish rider who'd already had two stops on the cross country. And we were getting uninterrupted coverage of him. And the final rider for the British team, who were going to win silver, was on course, and we didn't see him once. And I'm onto the truck going, why are we seeing this Spanish guy? And the director spoke to me at the end of the day and goes, oh, they were in fourth place after dressage. Yeah, but by 5 o'clock in the afternoon after cross country, they were nowhere.
Again, not understanding the sport. Yeah. Yeah. So what's been your favorite show of all of them to cover?
I think, you know, it's, I would have lots of favorites because, I mean, Amsterdam, which I do for TV, is a really nice show. I love that. Dublin, which is a show I announce in the arena, but that's my home Nations Cup show, and I'm really proud to be part of Dublin. And then I did the European Championships at Aachen, and I think Aachen is just the most amazing showgrounds in the world.
I've said, and I'd love to get your opinion. I don't know if you'll say, but I'd love to get your opinion, or ask anyway, is we've said, with all the trouble with WEG now, trying to find a place or places to do WEG and people volunteering and losing money and all of that, I still think it should be at Aachen and Lexington and rotate back and forth between the two and just have those two places so they're set up to do it. And then that everybody knows where they're going. We're going to know it keeps going. One, you know, that it actually does happen. Your thoughts on that?
I think it's tricky. I think it's, you know, it's developed from an idea that was to be a one-off celebration of bringing our sports together. I think if you speak to the vaulters, the reiners, the carriage drivers, they love it, you know, wherever it is, because they get to see the other sports and they love being alongside the big
hitters.
Well,
and
they're
at the same level as the other sports, right?
Yeah. And I think, on the other hand, what we're maybe missing is that Hickstead and Dublin will never hold a World Show Jumping Championships again. Burley will never hold a World Eventing Championships again. And these are some of the biggest names in those particular sports, because you've got to find somewhere that's able to take all eight. You know, I think the Olympics are looking maybe at centering around a few locales. It might be the thing, or, you know, there's lots of thought going into the World Equestrian Games concept at the moment. But I think we've got two fantastic venues coming up in Trian and then in Samarin in Slovakia for what's that going to be, 2022.
Has it been chosen? Is that for sure?
Well, they are the last bidder standing, and their bid is, so I'm not sure whether the Bureau have allocated it, but certainly the Bureau have said they are our only bid. Their bid would be successful, you know, and everything stacks up logistically. It's an amazing venue. It's only an hour from Vienna. So very easy for people to get to.
Very cool. All right, we're going to take a break for one of our sponsors, Ovation, and then we're coming back and we're going to put John to work here in just a minute on Really Bad Ads.
Horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. OvationRiding.com.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if the talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is that time of the week, everybody's favorite time of the week, when we do some really bad ads. These are ads that are submitted usually off Craigslist or Facebook by our listeners send them in. And they send them in partly because they want to hear us read them. And the other part is they get to win stuff. So we just finished up giving our prizes away for last month. And now for March, we have some new ones to announce. And Jennifer's going to help us with that.
Woohoo! This month's all brand new prizes. First up, we have an Equicentral tote from Noble Outfitters, a $54 value. The Quintessential on-the-go grooming tote is an organizational dream and the perfect addition to your equestrian gear, allowing you to have everything you need wherever you go. While the easy cleaning mesh base ensures that dirt and crud falls away, or if a mouse gets stuck in there, he's less likely to suffocate. So you can visit nobleoutfitters.com and check that out. And also, one of our Road to the Horse sponsors, Cavallo Boots, is giving away a pair, that's right, a pair of Trek hoof boots. Scooter and Nigel both wear Trek hoof boots, and we love them, and so do they. Cavallo's Trek boots are the most flexible, durable, breathable, and user-friendly addition to the Cavallo hoof boot collection. They are great for horses with sensitive feet, horses who've lost a shoe, and gee, it saves on a lot of vet wrap, horses with navicular laminitis or founder. You can find them at cavallo-inc.com.
Thank you, Jennifer. Some great prizes worth over $200 this month. A lot of fun. All right, let's get started. The first ad, I still have blue, Jamie. And we gave John green. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. I gave him green because he gets to read all the green ones because he's Irish.
Okay, got
and
it.
And I thought St. Patrick's Day, you know, it's coming up. And yeah. Then, you read the blue ones.
Did you give him the hard ones? Because I don't want any hard ones today.
I don't know. I started it with us doing one each to kind of show him how it works.
Okay, good. All right, good.
And then we'll let him do the next one. And we can determine where we think the accent needs to come.
I'm looking forward to the John Wayne one here.
Yes. Yeah. All right. This one sent in by Robert sent this in. It's out of Manning, which I have no idea where that is. 2014 Quarter Horse Colt. After much thought, I've decided to offer Pistol for sale. Pistol is a 2014 model quarter horse colt. I took him in last summer as a barrel project. I will be going out of state for work, and he deserves more than to stand around and wait for me to return. He is said to be registered, but I have never received any paperwork and haven't really investigated it. I bet you haven't. He lunges well, and he lunges well to the left, but to the right, he'll still pin his ears and spin a bit, but he's getting better fast. He will load in a stock trailer. He won't do ramps yet. Picks up his front feet fine, but is still a little hesitant with his backs. He does have a negative Coggins, but I have misplaced it. Of course he has. I haven't taped him, but I'm guessing he's around 14.1. For any questions, please PM me.
Unreal. And I do want to let John know that not only Americans send us really bad ads. We do get really bad ads from other countries.
But that one goes well to the left. That could be a vaulting horse.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Everything has a job.
And I love the ads that always say, well, I don't have his papers, and I never really looked into it because this horse was stolen. But, you know, that's... Who knows?
The next one was sent in by James, and this is Tima Kwana. Where is Tima Kwana?
I have no idea.
This is a Craigslist ad. Horse stuff, $50. I have some random horse stuff. 3 horse pads, $50 for all 3. 2 girths, not sure the sizes. I know they're too small for my big horse, $25. 2 reys, new, $20. Purple boots and black Hoover protectors, $35. Just call or text Amy and ask her what the hell a Hoover protector is.
maybe it's for, you know, when you're vacuuming your stables, you need a Hoover protector.
Yes.
After you clip it.
Exactly. All right, John.
Your turn.
Karen Dole has sent us this one. It's for a mini horse or pony, $250 near Worcester, wherever that is. So where are we here?
You can do any accent you want.
Why am I here?
Exactly.
Was wanting 300, asking 250. Name, lady, age 5, Coggins good till 23rd of March 2014. Lady is not broke. She's kid friendly actually. No bite or kick. I don't have time to do more work with her due to how many horses we have. That's DO, by the way. She's not had anyone on her back since June and no kids on her back since March. She tossed both kids at a play day and runs circles when I try and saddle her now. I, 110 pounds, can ride her with no problems, but she will not let any of the kids, and I don't know any bigger kids that are still small enough to cowboy her out. When we bought Lady last year, you could not catch her, and she was not very nice.
Don't you say she's not nice now?
Her spouse got bored, trained her to load in the back of the truck, and she is rode back there with me helping her stand. The truck is a stock 88 Chevy. A friend had our trailer. Can deliver if not far, and you pay for gas. Note, I drive a 1-ton. You must see mess with first. Call or text.
Can we keep him? Can we keep John?
Oh, my God. That was so great.
Okay, people, in case you missed it with his lovely Irish accent, she put the horse in the back of her truck, not in a trailer.
You can't ride the thing, but by God, she trained it to stand in the bed of her husband's Chevy. God.
You know, the year is important. It's an 88 Chevy. I would, 89, 87, no way.
Can't haul a truck in the back of an 89.
And by the way, she'll pay for it. You have to pay for the gas to have the horse in the back of the truck. And by the way, it is a 1-ton, so it's going to cost you.
We always wondered, those pictures you see of horses standing in the back of pickup trucks, here's the horse right here. Oh, God. Very well read. And your Irish does come out when you read like that. It really does.
I love it. I want all of them like that. Okay. Julie sent in the next one.
And I have not heard these. Herself. So we'll see.
What?
I have not heard these.
This is a Facebook ad. 2011 gelding for sale or trade. Barnes, Kansas. $2,000. I bought this super awesome, really nice 5-year-old. I am dumb. A beginner has no business owning a 5-year-old. He's 15'2", has great ground manners, is broke to ride. His feet are really nice, never had shoes on. Sound, comfortable, good conformation, beautiful, built like a tank. He is hyper-focused on cows, like wants to be a ranch horse and work cows all day. It's pretty cool to watch. Registered Palomino and Quarter Horse. I am an insecure rider. I don't like to go fast. Every once in a while, I'd like to lope about 50 feet. Mostly, I want to plot around the farm with my dogs. Looking to get him someplace where he will have a job that suits him, not babysitting me. Looking to get myself a babysitter horse. Have a horse to trade? Check out this list I made. Things that make a horse my horse. Bullet points. Between 13 and 14 two hands. Older than 9 or 10. Likes kids. I have an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old. Slow, slow, slow. No, really. Has never been barrel raced, rodeoed. Has to be asked 3 or 4 times to trot. Broke. I don't care about neck reining or spinning or fancy stuff. Favorite word? Whoa. Basically about as short and round as me. Things that make a horse not my horse. Too tall. Likes to go fast. Too young. Needs shoes. Hates apples, carrots, kids, and husbands. Skinny breed, thoroughbred, Arab, etc. Conformationally flawed / uncomfortable. and there are 22 pictures of a really nice Palomino with four white socks. So basically, she's wanting to trade a really nice five-year-old horse for something dead broke that doesn't want to do anything. Sounds like a pretty good trade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is exact opposite of what usually happens.
Yeah. Usually it's a five-year-old that's one three-legged and it's lame. And it, by the way, it's crazy and it bucks them off. But you know what? I'd like to trade it for somebody who's got a real nice broke horse. Anybody? Hello? Is this hang on? And remember, Julie, that when you send in your entry and read yourself, you are entered twice for the prizes.
That's
you
get, right. Boom. Good job, Julie. Credits. That was her first, I think. I don't remember her doing one before. Good for her.
No, I don't either. That was awesome. It was awesome. All right, Tony sent in the next one. Thoroughbred horse, 1500. He's over on the west side, wherever that is. We bought Winston for my daughter about 2 years ago, and he's a thoroughbred horse for English riding, racing, etc. My daughter is too busy for riding now, and he is eating us out of house and home. And I can't afford her cell phone bill and feed for this horse, so something's got to go.
My advice, get rid of the daughter. Yeah.
Get rid of the phone.
Yeah.
I will sell horse, tack, and supplies for $2,000 or best offer. Winston is registered with Jockey Club. Registered name is More Pie, please. And we have his registration papers. He's bay with a white star and a right hind pastern. This is one pissed off parent.
Yeah. Kid wanted the horse. Kid is not paying any attention to the horse. That damn phone. Won't put down that damn phone.
I'm selling this horse, and if it could, because he can't sell his daughter. This is a dad.
Those smartphones have a guaranteed eBay value. You can put it on for true. Buy it now.
Exactly.
Horses. Wow.
And mom wrote this ad because dad is now in jail because he did try to sell the daughter first.
Yeah. All right. Mark sent the following one in. Short and sweet. Palomino horse, $200 in Ocean Way. These are towns that we've never heard of before. 15 hands Palomino horse. Needs feet done. Not for beginners. Can be marish. He has been ridden, but not recently. Of course.
It's a marish he.
Yes. Yeah. I got a little stuck on that one, actually. Yeah.
That's funny. All right. I've been looking forward to this one. We have given John the trailer of the week. Really bad ad. Trailer of the week. Take it away.
Yeah, this is a trailer that is definitely held together more by rust than anything that happened to it in the factory. Kayla Moshe Studebaker has sent us this.
Wait a minute. For Kayla's benefit, can you say her name again? Because she's going to treasure that. All right, Kayla, we'll just let you enjoy this.
Kayla Moshe Studebaker.
There you go. World-class announcer. Announcing your name, Kayla, right there.
We might do this one as Marty Bauman from Classic Communications.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
Mustang Marty. This horse trailer is rumored to have been owned by John Wayne. I'm attempting to confirm now, email or call. $1,000 as is. Must take entire trailer, which is quite amazing because I reckon if you moved it, you're going to leave 90% of it right there. I will not part this thing out. Wheels do move freely if coaxed on axle, but I can't recommend towing it home as the risk of damage is too great. Bring a trailer to haul this vintage work of pre-war automotive art home to display proudly in your front yard.
It does sound like Marty. For those that don't know, Marty runs the press offices at most things in the United States, and I'm going to see him in about an hour. I'll make sure he listens.
Oh, my gosh. That's fantastic. Do the first line, just the first sentence again.
This horse trailer is rumored to have been owned by John Wayne.
Let me tell you something. There ain't no way in hell John Wayne would have ever owned this, even when it was brand new.
No, it's true.
At the National Horse Show, Marty was doing in-gate interviewing for us. And the first interview he was going to do was with Charlie Jacobs. And I said to the directors, is this going to come with subtitles for people who aren't from New England?
He's very, very thick.
I talked to him on the phone yesterday, and he sounded just like him. All right. The next one was sent in by Rachel. Let me get this one. in the truck.
Good morning, Glenn, Jen, and Jamie. This is Rachel calling you from Wisconsin. I've got a really bad ad, and this one is from Stanchfield, Minnesota. It's a very cute, tricolored paint pony mare. And it says, 10-year-old project pony mare, guessing around 12.3. She is what she is. We don't like her, so we are selling her. We've had her about a year, and things just ain't working out. Super quiet and gentle on the ground, but nervous under saddle. Not for beginners, unless you want one just to pet and brush. Supposedly broke to drive. She rides around just miserably. Has never bucked for us. She has a big old mole on her eye that resembles the witch that she is. I have $400 into her, and I'd like $400 out of her. Located in Stanchfield, possible trade on tack.
Okay. Yeah. Rachel read that while driving down the road, apparently.
I would swap this horse for tack, and then I would have no horses, but I would have tack, but that's still okay.
Okay, big mole on the eyeball. Oh, that's good. All right, good. That was very good, actually. Well read, Rachel. There's a multitasker right there.
And it was like, she's really cute, and she hasn't bucked for us, but she's a witch.
Yeah.
And she has a mole. Corinna sent the next one in, and this is the title is Hunting Mare. And
guess what you get? You get Alabama.
Alabama, baby. Unless John would like to attempt a Southern accent.
My Abilama is not good.
All right, y'all. I got me a 9-year-old Hancock Blue Valentine mare. She has lots of experience on the trails, but she is not a trail horse. Would be good just to use for hunting. If you're a family who hunts together, this is not the horse for your wife, your nieces or nephews, or your young at heart grampy. This is a big mare with a big build. She's got a big stride and a big attitude to match. She'll bushwhack with the best of them, and she won't care a bit if you forget to duck under that low branch and get yanked right out of that saddle, and she'll leave you behind with a bloody nose and damaged ego. Not to worry, though, because she'll find her way back to camp, probably before you do, and she'll help herself to a cold one. And if you got what it takes to handle her, she's yours for a mere $5,000.
Wow.
She's sound, she's fat, and she's proud. Come and get her.
Oh, now, look out over there.
You can totally tell this is in Alabama because they talk about bushwhacking and getting yanked right out of the saddle, and you're going to get yourself a bloody nose and you can't put your grampy on it.
Well read, Jamie. Well read. Oh, my face
here
hurts.
We go.
All right, couple more. Jessica's up next.
Yeah, Jessica Troop sent us in this one, and it's just quite difficult to follow. So, kids pony for sale, $600, Miami, Florida. I have two ponies. So, kids pony for sale, first line, I have two ponies. I have two ponies, both are male, safe for any kid's age. They love kids. They're a bit broken. And saddle broke. They lead around. I mean, what more do you need to know about a horse?
That's all you need.
This accent makes me so happy. I want to buy a book on tape that you're reading. I don't care what it's about. Okay.
All right. Next one up is from Karen. Another new name, actually. Horse for free lease. Come pick them up in St. Augustine. That'd be right up the street from here. Not a horse show. Not a show horse. This is a fun horse. I have a 12-year-old horse for free lease, meaning it's like a test run for you. If you decide you give the horse back or keep it, it's completely up to you. Experience horse owner and rider only. Fun and very fast. Also make a great companion horse for others. I can't ride/handle anymore due to being pregnant and my health from it. Emails for details.
When they say fun and very fast, yes, that means it's a runaway.
Yeah, it means it bolts. Yeah, that's right. It bolts. It's a bolter.
I'm not getting that from the horse emoji in the middle of the text, though.
I don't even know what that is. That's so funny. It's not show horse. It's fun horse. All right. You're up next, John.
Betsy Monsani has sent us this one. It's a horse for $500 in Newington. And Jamie says, I have to read it exactly as it's written. So here we go. Genital kid-friendly four-year-old male horse. Will take sadle and leads great. Stands about 14 hands. Grandkids have rode him, but slow.
Can you read that first part again?
Yeah. Bye. You're just making the blooper track for the rest of the season.
Back. He is never, ever coming back here.
Again, please. I didn't hear it.
Yeah, I got a problem on the audio on that one. Just one more time.
Gotta hear it.
Yeah, genital kid-friendly four-year-old male horse. I think that's how they know it's male.
And that's going in the best of right there.
There's so many things wrong with that. Now, we have one final really bad ad. And this was sent from Dothan, Georgia. Amy found this one. And Dothan, Georgia is very South Georgia. So I wanted to give you the opportunity, John, to do it's short. You don't have to do it too long, but just to really reach down and attempt the best Dothan, Georgia Southern accent that you can possibly find.
Sort of Georgia peaches.
That's right. That's correct.
Yep. So they're looking for a horse for $150. So I need a bit of Leslie Wiley, you know.
Yes, think Leslie Wiley.
I know she's Tennessee, correct. But you know, air conditioned horse show bathrooms, y'all.
Y'all.
I'm looking for a free or cheap rideable horse that I can ride trails with and has to be well broke.
That's pretty good, actually.
Looking for a quarter horse. Going back into Marty. Peaches. Got that Georgia peaches. Looking for a quarter horse type or paint that could be either gelding or mare. Around 10 to 15 years old. Thanks, and you have a blessed day.
Very well done. Yay. He does a better Southern accent than I do.
Y'all.
Yeah, his is better than yours, but I do love the fact that he can't Southern, like, he said the word, how it's supposed to be pronounced, and E-I-T-H-E-R. How do you say that word?
Oh, where, what?
Now, either, either.
Quarter horse paint could be
either
what?
Or either.
Yeah, either or either.
I know. I love it because a Southern person would say, I don't know, it could be either Gelden or Mayor. I don't know. Yeah. And he pronounced it like the correct way.
Any old way.
Either Gelding or a Mayor.
Yeah.
Well, my face hurts from today. That was fun.
That was great.
Thank you, everybody, for sending in some terrific ads today. Thank you, John, for helping us out. And I will have you know that Pippa is still listening. She just dropped me a note, so she got to hear all your accents right there.
And Pippa, I'm going to go ahead and send over the line for your ringtone of genital kid-friendly for your old That's your wife's ringtone now. You're welcome.
That's funny. Very good. Well, John, thank you so much for stopping by today. We really appreciate it. And
we've appreciated being friends with you. We know you won't call us ever again, but we did have fun.
Once was enough for that. Next year ain't coming back.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe I'll drop in, you know, when you're doing your live show from Rolex. I say, it's okay. I'm walking past the booth.
It's like
I'm really busy, Glenn. I'm places to be.
You know what? They call him for Live Oak next year. He's not even coming to Ocala. It's like, I'm not coming there again. Well, could they hear you on the live feed? You're not sure what you're doing this weekend, actually.
Yeah, no, so. I'm doing the live feed of the jumping. So okay. I think here in the US, it's on USEF Network. And it'll be the first 2 days class
and that's
on the
free.
FEI YouTube. Yeah. And then the World Cup class is on the FEI TV.
Okay. So there you go. You can catch John this weekend here at the show. I will see you over there because we'll be over for Marathon Day and everything. I'll try and stalk you out in your little booth. And this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. Now, next week's a bit different. I have to go over the schedule here a little bit. Jamie's going to London. So she's going to be...
Hopefully. Flights are filling up. I'm flying standby, so we'll see how it goes.
I
may go to Hawaii.
So, well, I mean, yeah, okay. Well, that's terrible. You have this horrible second choice there. Yeah.
It's not
going to
suck.
So Jamie's going somewhere.
Might be going to London, Michigan.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Jamie's off. So what we have planned for next week is a little bit different. We are going to be off on Monday with a best of show because also at the same time, our in-laws are here, Jennifer's mom, and we are going to be heading somewhere with them. So we're taking the day off. And after this week with the show schedule and the cancellations we've had, it's been quite challenging. So we're looking forward to that. Tuesday, Endurance Day. We'll be back with Endurance Day. Wednesday, we have a very special day for you here. My friend Katie Kremitzos of Biz Women Rock podcast, one of the most popular women's business podcasts around, is going to be co-hosting. And we have 10 podcasters joining us in an hour and a half. They each get 6 minutes, and we're going to kind of do a Twitter version of introducing you to 10 different podcasts. So that should be a lot of fun, something we've never done before. And then Thursday and Friday we'll be here. Now, Friday is going to be co-hosted by an auditor. The audition tapes are still coming in. I have 4 or 5 now. And what I haven't told anybody is I'm sending it to 3 of my podcasting friends who have never heard our shows and don't know a thing about horses. And I'm sending those audition tapes to them to decide who gets to do Friday next week. So there's no bias. It's going to be them decides. So I hope your tape was fun. And that's who we're going to have one of the auditors co-host with me next week. On Friday.
And I forgot, I've got to send you all the list of questions.
Oh, yeah, this is something we're going to do. You know how Jamie always asks non-horse people horsey questions that are embarrassing and they never know the answer to? Well, we're going to do one of those questions with each of the podcasters next week as they come on the show. That should be fun. But you
I
always come up with the best
ones. I love Ask a Non-Horse Person. It's one of my favorite games.
It's going to be so much fun. And Jamie, you come up with the best questions, so send me your list. Yours are really good.
I'll work on it.
All right, very good. Well, you have a great vacation, girl.
Thank you, guys. And thanks, John, for coming in. We really appreciate it. It's been super fun. And everybody have a great week. Don't forget, spay, neuter, and geld.
Go feed that chicken. It sounds so hungry. It's in the background there just twerping away.
It won't get out of my hand. I keep putting it down and it screams. It loves me. I'm going to have to take it to London.